Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker is brought to you by Russell and Smith Ford.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
All right, the NFL has informed the Titans that their review now has concluded. We were talking about them dropping the hammer, forfeiting games, so on and so forth for holding private workouts after the COVID breakout, which led to another breakout after that. The NFL concludes that the team was fully cooperative. They inspected the facility and found it to be in compliance. There were incidents of people not wearing masks. There was insufficient communication regarding player workouts outside the facilities, but individuals will not be disciplined. There is no discussion of forfeiting draft picks, and there will be a potential fine. So kind of a slap on the wrist.
It was. And, well, we'll see what kind of fine it is for the team, but I'm still a little bit surprised. But, I mean, they must have – I mean, how could anybody be that naive that they could do the things they did and say, well, nobody told us it was wrong or we didn't do it knowingly? I mean, it's hard to imagine, but they're going to get off easy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous that they got off that easy, because now you're looking at the Buffalo Bills, who've lost two straight games. They had to change their whole – and granted, they did play the Titans and they did play the Chiefs, so – let's be honest, those are two teams that most teams would lose to, but they had to change their whole schedule, and now they don't even look like the same team. And there is a certain level of routine to football, and when what happens, happens. But when it's because of negligence, that's clear, a lack of communication on workouts outside of the facility, okay, so they didn't tell them what they needed to know. Jay Glazer says that the Kansas City Chiefs have no intention of making Le'Veon Bell the starting running back. He says that they are going to still do what they've done with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they're just going to have an extra piece in Le'Veon Bell that'll come in there and be kind of the backup to CEH.
I mean, was this even an option for you? Did you even think this was
going
to be?
I didn't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to get benched. I did not.
Why would he?
The guy Heclair from Kansas
City.
Yeah,
Heclair, that guy. I mean, who asked this question? I mean, Le'Veon Bell was not going to come in and be a starter, especially in the middle of the year. I think he's going to be a weapon for him, though.
Yeah, I mean, because they know how to use him right. Mm-hmm. They beat the Bills yesterday, 26-17, just running the ball all over the Bills. Kansas City, they can switch styles, and it's impressive to watch. That was the 4 o'clock game. Then the Cowboys. My goodness, the Cowboys. They fall to the Cardinals 38-10. Two more fumbles for Zeke Elliott. Cowboys have just two wins. And apparently Mike McCarthy is just getting
destroyed.
Baptized. Jane Slater of NFL Network reports that Cowboys players initially bought into keeping things internal. Now as they sit 2-4, the disconnect is leaking out on the coaching staff. They call it, quote, totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly, and they aren't good at their jobs. Mike McCarthy brought in Mike Nolan. It doesn't look good. He admitted at his press conference with Jerry Jones and them that he basically lied about the analytics.
Yeah.
Supposedly he was cramming on analytics, but they hired him and not looking too good for the Cowboys.
When is Jerry Jones talking? Doesn't he have a Wednesday thing?
He has two, but yeah, I think he talks tomorrow.
Because this is going to be white hot. I'm stunned. I mean, I really am. I mean, first of all, Dak got hurt, so they weren't going to be as good as we thought.
Left tackle too.
Before
Tyron
the
Smith.
Yeah, that's right. And before the season, I think you and I both were incredibly high.
I thought they were going to be really good.
Yeah, I did too. I mean, is McCarthy that bad? Is it possible that Jason Garrett made them better than they would have been otherwise?
I think it would be more possible that Mike McCarthy's just that bad.
Is that much worse than Garrett.
Which makes Aaron Rodgers look better.
He carried McCarthy, that's for sure.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. But with all that said, they're in first place.
It's, well, two wins.
First place.
They're in first place, but this is going to get a lot uglier than it's before it gets better.
The combined record of the NFC East, 5-18-1, 6 weeks into the season.
That's so bad. I don't even remember, not even that year that the Saints made it 7-9. I don't remember that division being.
I think it was Seattle that was 7-9.
I mean,
and they
Seattle,
beat the Saints because they got to host that. They got to host them. The Beastquake, the Marshawn Lynch run.
Yeah, that was a coming out party.
So I got a punch to the junk during the Chiefs versus Bills game, and this was courtesy of Field Yates. So Stephon Diggs of the Bills, he scored a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Field Yates tweeted this out. Quote, Stephon Diggs this season, 5+ games, 37 catches, 515 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good, right?
That's pretty dang good.
Justin Jefferson, who was in the trade for Stephon Diggs, that was who the Vikings picked. By the way, the number one rated receiver in the entire NFL, courtesy of Pro Football Focus, right ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, who's number two. Justin Jefferson this season, 28 catches, 537 yards, 3 touchdowns. Working out for both teams.
Yeah, that's a solid trade. That's why trades happen.
Can't relate.
Make a team better. T-E-A-M.
Can't relate.
Stephon Diggs was traded for a first-round pick and something else.
And too. Multiple draft picks.
Yeah, another,
like three
another
or four.
Picks,
three
yeah.
or four picks.
What was DeAndre Hopkins traded for?
A second and the Enron back. And a pick swap, which, by the way, is going to end up being worse.
They're going to have a better pick.
What?
Yeah, the Cardinals are going to have a
of all the stuff that they did on that trade, it's bad enough that you took back David Johnson's contract. That's one level of idiot.
Yeah.
You traded DeAndre Hopkins. That's another level of idiot.
Then you swap picks.
You swap picks, and your pick's going to be worse.
Yes.
Who the hell did they think they were?
I mean,
the Texans traded with the Cardinals, and it's like, well, something that people aren't talking about, if you heard anyone over there try to sell the trade.
Well, something that people aren't talking about.
We got that fourth
pick. Is that fourth-round pick could end up being closer to a third-round pick?
No.
Nope.
It's not.
It's going to be worse. It's going to be a lot worse.
It's going to be close to what y'all traded.
You got fleeced. You got fleeced.
I mean, is there anything – is that the most overthought thing I've ever – like, I've heard of, like, a pick swap. Like, in an actual draft, we swap a sixth and a fifth. A year before in a year-to-year league, we're just going to trade. You can have our fourth. We'll have yours next year.
Yeah.
Here we go. Smartest guys in the room.
Bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Smartest guy in the room. You know, we flopped that. We flopped that fourth. You know, that's something nobody's talking about.
I really had someone over there try to tell me that's something nobody's talking about. When you traded DeAndre Hopkins for F and David Johnson,
but you got
a second-round pick.
A better fourth-round pick.
You don't realize we did swap fourth-round picks.
Nobody's talking about guys.
You swap fourth round picks? You swap fourth round picks? What is that even? How does that conversation go? How did the conversation go with this trade? And I always get off on this tangent because it's...
No, but you're legit on this one.
Dude, so did they pick up the phone and say, hey, what's the Arizona GM's name? John Keim?
Yeah.
Hey, John. King Bill here. DeAndre Hopkins is, you know, he doesn't practice during the week. And I know he's really good on Sundays and he's bailed my fat ass out time after time. But, you know, I really want to trade him.
How's a second round pick sound? What about that David Johnson guy? I know he was third string on your roster last year. I know he has one of the worst contracts in football, and it's very well known that you guys are trying to ship that contract, and you just offered Kenyon Drake a $9 million transition tag, and you like Chase Edmonds. What about throwing David Johnson in there?
Hey, it's David Johnson from the Houston Texans, here with my good friend Toro.
No, don't worry about that. I know you guys are willing to pay the salary, but don't worry about that. I like him a lot, so I'm going to pay him $11 million and make him one of the five highest paid running backs in the NFL. Okay, well.
Oh, one more thing.
One more thing, guys. One more thing. I'm going to give you our fourth round pick this year, and you're going to send us your fourth round pick next year. How does that sound?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Nailed it.
What did this conversation sound like? I really want to know what this conversation sounded like.
Probably something like that, but the thing that I was envisioning when you were saying that, you know that the fourth round pick was kind of like a last add-on.
Oh, and they thought
thing.
They sprinkled
they were
it
high-fiving.
In.
They're like, hey, we even got that on them. We got the fourth round pick.
Yeah.
We're going to be picking so much higher than them.
No, it's like when you go to a burger spot or something like that.
No.
And let's say you're really hungry. You go to the burger spot. Let's say they put like you like mustard and mayonnaise, but they give you the mayonnaise instead of the mustard. Right?
Right.
So you go up there, you say, "Ma'am, I'm sorry. I really wanted the mustard. You gave me the mayonnaise." And you say, "Here you go." They say, "No, you can keep the burger." And you kind of fist bump.
Oh,
you're like,
"Yeah.
That's a good one right there. Oh, here, let me throw in some fries. I'm sorry, sir." Yes, that's what they thought swapping fourth round picks was when they did this DeAndre Hopkins.
They put one over on him. Because, you know, we're going to draft no higher than 28 or 29. You know, with this great deal we made, we're going to be in the AFC Championship. So, we might even draft 32nd in each round. And, you know, they're going to stink because DeAndre Hopkins isn't going to do anything for them. So we'll be getting like a eighth overall pick in the round.
I just wish that it's bad enough, but the fourth round pick swap just shows me that they really thought they were smart.
Yeah.
I felt like the Cardinals' idea. They felt so bad about the trade.
But it didn't even do them a favor.
I know.
Like, it's one thing to do something stupid, but you throw something else in there like a fourth round pick swap.
Yeah. Nailed it. Nailed it.
And you know who was part of that. And I can tell you this with 100% authority.
Who?
The guy that was helping the king.
Jack Easterby.
The guy that was helping the
Absolutely.
King.
Absolutely.
I'm a people person.
I mean, really, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. I know that you got to be respectful around the NFL. And I know John Keim, the GM of the Cardinals, has to, like, not say anything publicly. There's no way in hell once he hung up the phone that he wasn't laughing his ass off at what just happened and the conversations that they had to have had.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Cardinals were – Keim was just going like, did that just happen?
They probably called Miami, was like, wow, guess what we got.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's calling all his buddies in the league. Hold on, seriously. First of all, hand to God, this is the trade we got from the Texans. All right, no, seriously. No, really. No, honestly, this is what we got. We got
Miami, y'all got them first round picks. Look what we got.
Yeah, yeah. First of all, we still have our first round pick. We got DeAndre Hopkins. We even got him to switch fourth round picks. Ah.
And the it goes back to the Miami thing because I saw the report on the Miami trade. Kenny Stills and Brian Flores didn't get along.
Right.
They were talking about Kenny Stills getting cut.
Mm-hmm.
They offered the two firsts for Laremy Tunsil. And Miami goes, well, we'll throw Kenny Stills in. What do you want there? And they would have taken it according
just
to
like
Miami,
that.
According to Miami beat writers, you could have thrown in a sixth. King Bill, how about a two?
Okay, sure. Hold on. The other thing I think they did in Arizona, I'll bet you they put their phone on speaker and like waved everybody in. Shh, be quiet. Listen. Listen what they're giving us.
A fourth round swap.
Did he put it on mute?
A fourth round swap, man. Like, what? Help me out here. If you're in a job interview right now, let's say you're King Bill and you're trying to get a job, and I'm just asking you, this is natural. I'm interviewing, John Lopez is going to play the role of King Bill. I'm interviewing you.
Okay.
What were you thinking with that DeAndre Hopkins trade?
T-E-A-M. Listen, every decision we make, Landry.
He has to not say that now. He has to just say I screwed up, right?
He's still going to
defend. He believes it.
J-
He lives it. He got fired because of it.
He probably said he couldn't get none. That was the best deal we could have got.
Yeah. Yep. Which is ridiculous.
And you know the other thing that we've glossed over? We've mentioned it. We've talked about it. It's not a nobody's talked about. They only talked to like four or five teams, period.
Yeah, Ron Rivera said they didn't know.
A lot of coaches and GMs said they had no idea that Texans were shopping DeAndre Hopkins.
I would rather just let him sit. You can't even hold out anymore. I would rather him just hold out than have made that trade.
Be better off.
Just let him sit around.
You'd have been better off.
Let Nuke just sit. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It always comes back to this. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. A fourth round pick swap. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Good Lord, man. Good Lord. Are the playoff hopes for the Texans still alive if they catch the Packers sleeping on Sunday? John Lopez ain't having it. I'm going to lay out the case next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Question for you on that late 12 men on the field penalty against you guys. I guess first question, was that, you know, intentionally done to stop the clock?
You know, we have to do a better job with penalties. You know, we had 7 of them, I think, pretty uncharacteristic. You know, we had a few on offense. So, you know, we have to be better in all areas. And I think the penalties are one thing that we focus on, communicating, trying to give ourselves the best chance to win a football game.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about the 12 men on the field penalty they took. That was a brilliant move, really. It was Belichick-like. On the text line, 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. 0061 on the text line said that Bill O'Brien, when he did the fourth round pick swap in the new Hopkins trade, thought that was his too many men on the field penalty.
The more I think about that.
I really think that might be accurate. Like, we're laughing, but I really do think that he might have thought he was doing something revolutionary.
Just relax. I got like, this.
No, he thought he was high-fiving Jack Easterby and saying they have no idea.
Pointing to his brain.
Yeah, pointing to his temple. They have no idea
I got this.
Was brilliant. It was a stroke of genius.
Like, because normally a pick swap is, okay, they're drafting 8th in the round, you're drafting 21st. We're going to swap. So you're going to move up. No, we're going to do it a year out. Mm-hmm. That's like some sort of icing. And when they tried to say, well, you know, in this fourth round pick, shut up, man. Like, that was just awful. But I'm with 0061. I think they probably thought that was pretty brilliant. Look at the NFL standings right now, OG.
I just had them up.
I know you're already out on the Texans potentially making the playoffs.
I'm sorry. I mean.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, they're 1-5.
Should I apologize for that?
No, it's not like that. But if you look at the playoff picture right now, and it's an expanded playoff picture, 7 teams make it. Right now, the final team in is the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
They're sitting at 4-2. And you're going to have to leapfrog a lot of teams, but you actually play a few of the teams in front of you, including the Patriots and the Bengals. So you have those teams on your schedule, and I think their schedules are going to get more difficult to where they rough each other up. The Colts at 4-2 and the Texans at 1-5. The one thing that the Texans do have going for them there is that they do face the Colts 2 times.
Mm-hmm.
The record to get into the playoffs is most likely going to be 8-8, maybe 9-7 for that final spot. Texans are obviously going to have to run off. It's going to have to be a hell of a run for them to get there, but they do at least face the Colts twice. And if they are going to get there, they're going to have to win a game that you don't expect them to, which I think starts this Sunday. If they lose Sunday, that's pretty much the end of playoff hopes, and you got to start talking trade deadline and all that. But if they do catch the Packers slipping,
yeah,
and stranger things have happened, and it's a 3.5 point spread, if they're able to move the ball and they're able to somehow sneak this one out, it's going to be pretty interesting because you got a bye week and then you got Jacksonville after that,
mm-hmm,
and things are going to get a lot easier than they've been for the Texans on the back half.
I hear you. It's really, really hard to go there. Foremost, just the math involved. You say there's going to be 8 teams, right?
7.
I mean, 7 teams. There's 11 teams ahead of the Texans right now. I mean, that's a lot of hurdling that you have to do.
I only consider it 7 because I'm not even looking at Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Kansas City, and Buffalo. I'm just considering that a wrap in Baltimore.
You're saying that outside of those,
I'm keeping my 17. Eyes. I'm keeping my eyes on that.
Well, that's
seven
still
spots.
Seven to go in. That doesn't go in. It has to go into four.
If you look at the seven spot and you look at the six spot, it's the Browns and the Colts.
Right.
And you play both of those squads.
You do.
It's really just, to me, it just comes down to this Green Bay game. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm going to pick the Texans as of yet. I might be able to talk myself into it.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes down to this Green Bay game and sneaking one of these. Because we said they needed to win 3 out of 4 in the second quarter in order to maybe have like a puncher's chance and finish strong and finish the season stronger than they have. But if they can catch Green Bay slipping, look out. There might be something there for the Texans to make some sort of run and at least make it interesting just because of the remaining schedule and the teams that they face that are in front of them.
Well, here's another thing that is making me a little bit apprehensive about even going there. The only way that, well, let me ask you, would you agree the only way the Texans can win now is with shootouts?
Offense. I mean, and that's not, I don't think it's a now thing. I think we've been saying that all year.
No, we have, but I'm saying it's obvious to the world they have to get into shootouts. The problem with facing the Colts is they have the second or third best defense in the entire NFL. They face the Colts twice. Are they going to be able to win a shootout with the Colts? That's one team. Then they face the New England Patriots, another defense. Can they win a shootout with the Patriots? Then they're going to face the Packers this week, which
this is the one that's important.
They've got a top 10 or 11 defense. So, you know, if you're saying, you know, they're playing some of the worst defenses in the league, then yeah, you know, they can win some of those shootouts. Jacksonville has a horrible defense. They can win again there easily. Cincinnati with Joe Burrow playing a little, you know, pretty well, but they got a horrible defense. So they can win that one. I just don't think they can win the shootouts with the good defensive teams they're still playing.
This is the other thing that I look at when I look at this game on Sunday. So I understand that we're pretty high on the Packers right now because they just lost their first game.
Right.
We didn't anticipate the Packers being an elite team heading into the year.
Until about 2 or 3 weeks in.
Is it possible that maybe we're overreacting and the Packers are somewhere in the middle between the bust that a lot of people were predicting them to be and the elite team that a lot of people thought they were? And I'll lay this out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the wins that the Packers have had. They beat the Vikings, who have one win. That one win was against the Texans. They beat the Lions, who are garbage. People want Matt Patricia out. They beat the Saints without Michael Thomas, who had lost a couple games, and they've had their backs against the wall a lot. They beat the Falcons, who fired their coach afterwards, and they were a winless team at the time. And then the one legit team they face, the Tampa Bay Bucks, just taps the brakes off them and beats them 38-10. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the Texans are better, but is it possible that maybe Green Bay is somewhere in between the flop that a lot of people thought they would be and the elite team that people thought they were before they got their first taste of them playing a very good team? Is it possible?
Yeah. No, it is. It's absolutely possible that they're not as good as we thought, but they're not as bad as we saw last week. That's still better than the Texans. Now, here's the other thing that kind of speaks to your side. Deshaun Watson is playing his ass off since Bill O'Brien left. He's got more yards, passing yards right now than Aaron Rodgers. He's got more passing yards right now than Patrick Mahomes. So we came into the year thinking as Deshaun goes, the Texans go, and then everything just fell to pieces. But he's playing his ass off right now. Can he do it against those good defenses is my question. Can he sustain it? Can he stay upright? Is he going to just sustain it in general? You know, because, you know, maybe he's just on a hot streak right now and it's going to be hard to overcome some of these shortcomings on offense, namely David Johnson. Because here's the other thing. There isn't a defense in the world that's going to be afraid of running the ball on first down. They're going to start, you know, countering what the Texans have been doing the last couple of weeks, and that's throwing the ball on first down. What did McClain say? I think it was 12 for 14 for 100 and something yards on first down against the Titans. Well, that's on film. That's going to be adjusted to, and David Johnson is not going to be the threat rushing the ground.
Packers are 22nd in the league in points per game allowed. I mean, they're allowing 27 points, 8 points per game. And they're bottom five in yards. So it's not like you're just facing an awesome defense. Offensively, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, but it's not like these guys got awesome receivers. That was the biggest complaint. They got Alan Lazard, Valdez Scantling. Davante Adams is one of the best, but you put Roby on him. I think that Green Bay is obviously the well-deserved favorite, but I think if you do look at the Green Bay defense and you look at the fact that the Packers, maybe we overreacted and thought they were a little bit better, along with the way the Texans looked against the Titans offensively, let's ignore the defense, please. I don't think it'd be as far-fetched as you're thinking. I think stuff could get very interesting, to say the least. Now, am I going to make that pick on Friday?
We'll see.
We'll see. Let's go to JC. JC, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Lopi, what's up, baby?
Hey there.
First of all, I wish they could make up a rule for general managers in the National Football League, as that quarterback from Denver would say. Stupidity. Oh, my God. So, here we are. Here we are. And all I want to say, Lopi, is like, would you trade me two rattle traps for a half a dozen of croaker and go to the wrong ditch with them? Of course not. So, stupid. You can explain it to the guys.
I will. I'll explain it to Landry.
Man, bro, I don't know what to say except, man, I kind of feel like y'all said the other day, somebody said something about Deshaun Watson's mom was probably the most upset for him not bailing. And unfortunately, in my personal opinion, I think we might lose 99. And just get him somewhere where the man's got a chance, because he's an outstanding man, and it's not his fault.
Yeah, it's like what I said to John McClain.
By the way, he's talking about what Mickey said. I didn't say anything about Deshaun's mom. That was a caller.
I would be sad if J.J. Watt was traded.
I'd be happy for him.
I would not be angry, yeah. And McClain, no way they're going to trade him. It's a smart thing to do, man. It is right now, especially after this week. Especially if they lose, yeah.
It's a different outlook. You do got to realize that extra playoff spot is big. So, you know, in the past when it was just six, a little bit different, but now there's seven. So keep an eye on it. I don't know that the Packers are world beaters that we thought they were. I think they benefited from a very average schedule. Now, are they better than the Texans? Spoiler alert, yes. But the best team doesn't always win on Sunday. Hashtag any given Sunday. Shout out to Willie Beeman. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. A call to action. I got a call to action for Romeo Crennel. J-Lo's got a call to action from the boss man. We'll give it to you next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, call to action. Okay. Call to action. I'm going to call Romeo, and I have a couple requests, and then you can stay in your tax bracket, and you can go up to the owner of the Texans, and you guys can talk it out. I don't want to watch DeAndre Carter play football anymore. Is that too much to ask? Like, I get that David Johnson needs to be here. Why am I watching DeAndre Carter still return kicks? What's going on with that? Can I get some Kiki QT action? Can I get something going on? Why am I still watching number 14 play football for the Texans?
Romeo hasn't been asked much about him, has he, since he's taken over? I'm trying to sit here and think about that. And I'm sure he's not going to be asked, hey, are you going to replace him? I mean, I guess he could. But that's one of those things. You talk about the Green Bay game. After this week, we're going to start seeing all kinds of stuff like that, right? You go 1-6. You got no
– tryouts.
Yeah. It's just tryouts. It's see what people got, different positions. It's trades. It's, you know, all that stuff. So I agree with you. It's frustrating because Carter has just been so mediocre at best, but I could see where they're going to stick with him one more week here and see what happens. I don't agree.
I want to see more Duke too.
Yeah. I think that should happen. That should happen 2 weeks ago.
I mean, I want to see more Duke. I want to see it on second down. I want to see it on third down. I want to see more Duke.
David Johnson is not good. He's lost it.
Felt like McClain was trying to defend him for some reason.
He was. Earlier. No, you don't feel like it. He was trying to defend him, which I don't get. Hey, if he gets 111 more yards, he'll have the same number of yards as Carlos Hyde. Okay. But he can't run between the tackles. Okay. It's the line's fault, but the tackles are playing really well. If you watch him run at the goal line, there's no holes there. Okay. Get there quicker. See, the logic that McClain used is not logical. He's saying, you know, watch it on slow motion. Didn't he say he watched
it? He told me to watch it on slow motion, and I was just...
He told you to watch it on slow motion.
He basically told me to watch the tape.
Yeah. 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 You got, you know, you got to watch the film.
He pulled the Bill O'Brien on me.
He did. But okay,
he said, watch the tape.
But let's play that game, because I always, usually on Tuesday nights or Wednesday mornings, I watch, you know, the fast rewind of the entire game just to see, you know, things that I had questions about. So I'll probably watch that tonight. I'll make it a point to do this, but I can tell you what the answer is probably already. A lot of the times the holes collapse because he doesn't get there quick enough. He doesn't have any burst at all.
He doesn't make anyone miss tackles. Yeah. He goes sideways when it looks like he should cut up. Like, his vision's off. Like, that's what they said about it in Arizona, and all you heard was, well, it's systematic.
Yeah.
Systematic. Okay. So he's third string because it's systematic?
Yeah.
Comes here. Well, behind this offensive line, he's going to do his thing. Not to mention... Where's this receiver that everybody was talking about, David Johnson?
Yeah.
And that bozo play, this is really where I soured on David Johnson, because I kind of feel sorry for him because he's not very good anymore, mm-hmm. and he was traded for DeAndre Hopkins. It's not his fault. It's not like he begged for it.
He didn't do the trade.
But as soon as you show the lack of awareness to go out of bounds at the end of the second quarter with the clock ticking and one timeout, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. I was already trying to be extra nice to you. I'm done with you. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at.
I mean, he's not good. He's not. He doesn't have it anymore. At one point, he was the best back in the league, really, all around. That was 4 years ago. You know, more than 4 years ago now.
713-572-4610. Let's go, Brown. JR, the UPS guy. What up?
Man, what's up, fellas? First of all, John, you know that John McClain has his points of argumentation with a small amount of stats and a large amount of opinion. So we can get past that, okay?
All right. But
first of all, forgive me, I'm out of breath, man. I just climbed some stairs.
All right. Look, I know you're working, man.
All the time, baby. So look here. I want to recant a statement that I made about Deshaun Watson just a little bit, because here's the thing. His underdevelopment has been made clear and been shown clear. But what I did not see, or what blinded my eyes, was the huge amount of set of handcuffs that Bill O'Brien had on him.
Right.
Now he's playing free, man. He's playing free and he's balling. And so with that being said, you all alluded to earlier that in order for us to win games, we're going to have shootouts, in which I completely concur with. But when we play a team like the Indianapolis Colts, yes, they have the number two defense in the league, but it does not matter. And I'm going to tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
If you allowing Deshaun Watson to drop back 37 to 40 times a game and he has the ball in his hand, that is absolutely and utterly dangerous for defenses. I don't care how good you are.
Oh, sure.
How well you play. And it's going to make it extremely, extremely difficult on those defenses trying to keep up with that. But when you making Deshaun play in this kind of a, you know, caged game where he's handing the ball off to the running back on first and second down, he never has time to get in his rhythmic stage with throwing the football. But you see clearly, when he's in a rhythm, I don't care who you are, you're not stopping him. And when you look at a team like Green Bay, their defense got 38 slapped on them, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
The day before yesterday, rather. And they're very beatable, man. So the reason I recant my statement is because I want to down that hill with saying what I said about Deshaun as far as maybe not that he's not the guy, but his underdevelopment. Clearly, there were handcuffs on him, and I think that we need to look at his arm going forward, how much damage is doing, and that offense is starting to develop.
No, hey, good call. Good call, JR, and I'm with you. All I'm saying is it's a lot more difficult against the best defenses in the NFL than not against the best defenses in the NFL. Deshaun Watson can do what he do, as people say, against anybody. It's just, it's a lot tougher task to ask for a win against those guys if you're getting in a shootout with some great defenses.
I just can't believe that he already looks more comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Like this much in the last couple weeks since the King left. Like, I knew that.
It was like overnight.
I knew that B.O.B. was not a very good offensive mind, but I didn't know that him simply just clearing his office would lead to Deshaun Watson
mm-hmm.
looking like he's looked the last couple weeks. Like, it was that simple.
Yeah. It's bizarre that. Well, it's I say it's bizarre. You could kind of see it coming.
Yeah, but you can't change a whole system. Like the fact that it happened.
Well, they didn't change
the
system. How many times have I been sitting here over the course of the year and said, maybe Tim Kelly will go to different pages in the playbook? It's the same playbook. They haven't changed the terminology, you know, nothing like that. But maybe it'll just kind of let him spread his wings. I think he's doing that. And I think Deshaun Watson has a big impact on the play calling as well.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Antonio. Antonio, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
All right, fellas. One thing I do not want to see from Romeo is his defensive philosophy of bend but don't break defense to be rearing his head against Green Bay, because we all know Aaron Rodgers is going to eat.
Yeah, he's
going to
do more than bend.
The question I have for you, though, Antonio, on that is – I mean, who do you want to blitz and what corners do you want pressing on this team? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes when you're doing bend, don't break defense, I don't think he would be doing this if he had the Steelers defense. It just seems kind of like, do you want Vernon Hargraves to get up on the receiver? Do you want Brendan Scarlett to blitz more? Like, what exactly do we want from a philosophy there?
It's fine when we have, like, a lot of yards in between us and the end zone. But when we get close to the red zone, or, you know, I want to see us backed up 10 yards like in the Tennessee game. Like, and we leave enough to Eric Murray to hold somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because I know, yeah, we don't have a lot of options there. But when we get in the end zone, it's time to tighten them up a little bit. And another thing I do not want to see from red zone is Tim Kelly calling – a reverse play to Cook. Now,
I was fine with that. I don't want to see 31 in the end zone. I don't want him having any glory. I was actually okay with it.
I'd have been cool if he would have ran a sweep or something with it. He's better. I'll get Johnson. He do get positive yards running to the outside, you know, or throwing to the outside, but not no reverse in the red zone. I don't want to see no reverse.
Hey, I'd rather see the Wattcat than 31 score a touchdown, honestly. I want him to have no glory.
Yeah. And how about McClain saying they should just run more outside? That's not – this is the NFL, man. You've been doing it for 40-something years. There's going to – I say it all the time. There's going to be a situation, Landry, inevitably, in most regular season games and certainly in the postseason, where you have to turn around and hand the ball to a dude and get a yard.
Are we sure that he's a good outside runner?
No, we're not.
I mean, we saw that one run week one. But when I think outside runner, I think this dude can get outside.
Like,
does he look like he has the speed?
No.
Does this look like
Enron Online will change the markets?
Like Alvin Kamara, Christian McCaffrey, those type of guys. Like, yes, I think outside run.
Yeah.
Does the Enron back really look like he has the jets to just run outside?
No, he can't even get to the line of scrimmage with a good burst.
Why does the
he has good once you're going speed, you know, but that doesn't help.
Torin, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, man? That's what I start off by saying. I do agree with Landry was saying. Why is DeAndre Carter playing football, especially not at this level? One of the worst return men I've ever seen. The other thing is winning the games by shootout. But what I've seen from Deshaun Watson, which I am glad he's more free now, but winning games by shootout are ever been competitive with shootout games. It's kind of hard for me to see that because even though he's more free, I've noticed he's been not so accurate. His passes haven't been – he's been doing a lot of overthrowing balls and stuff like that. I think if he dropped back 40 times a game, there's going to be some interceptions in that thing. Because last game, he was throwing behind receivers, in front of receivers. It just was really not accurate. So, if he's going to be free, they need to work on his accuracy to make that happen.
Yeah, and they can do that in the offseason. I think the one pass that Torin probably looks at, there was a third down pass to Duke Johnson where Duke had a running start. He threw it behind him and – they ended up having to punt. Yeah, he's going to miss – I mean, he's going to miss some throws.
That's what he is. That's what he is. He's an incredibly gifted player, a good passing quarterback, sometimes a great passing quarterback, especially on the long ball. But that seam route, you know, that out route, that back shoulder, he's good at it, but occasionally that's where he shows some flaws.
KJ, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Is KJ?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, what's going on, fellas? My bad, man. Real quick, I'm hearing some noise in the background. Look, that's you guys.
That's the music. That's Figgy doing what he do.
Oh, okay. when it was a caller called in earlier today, it wasn't on you guys' show. It was actually on the Seth show saying that we need to, that Bill O'Brien is gone.
What about it?
Oh,
KJ's struggling
what
today.
Happened? What happened?
Oh, no. KJ's struggling.
Call back, KJ. We'll get you.
Are you ready to go? Nah, one chance, man. Yeah, you don't get two. You don't get two.
It's kind of harsh.
I like Mignon. It's the rules.
I tried, KJ.
It's the rules. You got to perform when the light's on.
Yeah.
Got to perform
that
when the light's on.
That red light goes on. You better be ready.
That red light goes on, you spit that fire.
All right.
If not, mom spaghetti all over your.
I didn't say that, Figgy.
Mom spaghetti all over
I didn't
your,
say that.
Your shirt. You're calling for your. You're trying to tell billionaires what to do now on SportsRadio610.com.
Sure, sure.
What are you telling billionaires to do?
Ask the right questions. Be careful. Be careful with Jack Easterby cozying up and washing his hands of Bill O'Brien, because he was Bill O'Brien's cohort in every sense of the word. If it wasn't 50-50, it was 51-49. And he had everything to do with this disastrous place where the organization is right now.
The one thing I will say about Cal, though, and in fairness.
Hey, you know how I feel about Cal. I've been very complimentary of him this year because I think he's handled things very well.
In fairness.
I hope he handles this well.
He should have vetoed the Hopkins deal. He should not allow
that
to go down.
Yeah, that one this year. Well, I guess it was.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he should have allowed that to go down. Yeah. But he does seem to have some sort of pulse in that he did fire King Bill 4 weeks in. I don't think any of us saw that coming.
Right.
So he does seem to have a pulse. I remember when people were talking about he needed to give King Bill the GM title, he gave him that.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been the beginning of the end because it eliminated Bill O'Brien basically putting his hands up and saying, wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
So he will do that. So if there is something to look into with Easterby, I'm sure he's going to do it. I don't think he's just going to ignore it.
No, he won't ignore it.
And he did already make it clear he wasn't the GM. We got to at least admit that's good.
Well, and he also said after they hire a GM, Jack Easterby would go back to his previous role as just executive vice president and whatever that is. We're not exactly sure. He does a little bit of everything. My worry is Jack Easterby, who can be so influential and likable and persuasive, impacting that general manager decision, impacting that head coaching decision. And why? Because it helps him. Because it helps him get in favor with the new regime.
He's an interesting dude, man.
He really is.
He's an interesting dude, to say the very least. I would say I want to hear from him, but I probably wouldn't talk if I were him. At this point, I would lay very low if I were Jack Easterby. If I was advising him, I would just say, yeah, they do not want to hear you talk, man.
Yeah, I don't
think. At one point I did, but after the O'Brien thing, I just think Jack needs to lay low, find his new role, prepare for it, do what he's doing now, and just not say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
No, I don't know if I agree with that. I would want to, if I were Jack Easterby and I heard me talking about him and questioning his power plays and his relationships.
But what if you're right?
I think I am right. Oh, no. I mean,
so listen, then why would he talk if you're right?
Listen to what they're saying in New England and elsewhere about him. They agree with me. If I were him, I would try to kind of get in front of that and say, no, it's different this time, and here's why.
You know? He's got to preach different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see. I don't think we're going to hear from him anytime soon, and quite honestly, Jack, that would probably be the best best philosophy. Unless you want to give John McClain an exclusive. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah, you can do that.
Thanks to John McClain for hopping on the show. Thanks to the Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a Loophole. We'll be back tomorrow.
I would also like to give a shout out.
On to Green Bay, it will be. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. Talk to you tomorrow at 10. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
There is no need to watch the bridge.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear.
We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.